Our lesson this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. Inform and maturing teens on avoiding divisive people and their characteristics. As human beings, we are social beings who have to relate with others in society in order to succeed in this life. So for blessing, we have to avoid developing divisive tendencies and being close to divisive people. Solomon knew it was imperative that his sons, who were going to be princes, and therefore they would have to relate to others because they would be ruling them, be cooperative in relationships. So Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 19 in his Egyptian Spoyet format gave insight on avoiding divisiveness. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word this morning. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of fellowshipping with God's people and one another, fellowshipping around the word of God. Thank you for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide. Thank you for the Word of God. And we ask for wisdom today as we look at the Scriptures, that we would be able to use it, apply it effectively for benefit and blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. Let me read them. Verses 12 through 19. A naughty person, a wicked man, walks with a froward or a twisted or crooked mouth. He winks with his eyes, he speaks with his feet, he teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he devises mischief continually, he sows discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things does the Lord hate, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. I actually prefer the New International Version translation. It's a little more effective, a little more straightforward, clearer. So I thought I would just take some time to look at that one this morning. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll look at it again, 12 through 19. A scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty or proud eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension or division amongst brothers. Well, the focus throughout the Proverbs 6, 12 to 19 section is the vice of divisiveness in human relationships. Now, Solomon noted that the party described in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 15, in the end stirs up division. And we know that because in verse 14 he states as much. Also, the numerical proverb that follows this section in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19 uses the X plus 1 formula. And that teaches that the X plus 1 characteristic is the quality most stressed in the proverb. For example, you'll have a proverb, these three things does the Lord hate, yea, four. Or these four things are too marvelous for me, yea, there are five, and so forth. It's the last one that's the focus. And this format of giving these proverbs is designed to draw your attention very strongly to the last one. Well, the quality that is used in the numerical proverb from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, in that numerical proverb, is divisiveness, because it's the last one that's used. You'll notice verse 16, there are six things the Lord hates, yea, seven that are detestable to him. The seventh one is a man who stirs up division amongst his brothers. That's the one that's a focal point. So Solomon had as his key focus throughout Proverbs 6, 12 to 19, the theme of the vice of divisiveness. And what I want to do is look at this in detail. Solomon described the characteristics of the divisive person in verses 12 to 19, characteristics one should not only use to identify divisive people and to avoid their fellowship, but also to avoid adopting himself, that he might enjoy God's blessing by adhering to his fixed moral order. See, if we develop the characteristics of divisive people, we're not going to have many friends or associates who want to relate to us. So it's very important that we not develop that mentality. And when we get to the end of the lesson, we're going to make a distinction between divisiveness and holiness. Holiness requires us to divide from ungodly and unholy people, but not as a divisive individual. Divisiveness and divisive people arise from unbiblical evil speech. Verse 12, a scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth. One of the qualities that we will find in a person who is divisive is someone who has a corrupt mouth. And the corrupt mouth is one who practices what we would call bad talking. Bad talking is where there's a tendency towards that which is negative, that which tears down, that which undermines the credibility of other people. If you're around a person who's constantly tearing down someone else, you better be careful. They'll probably tear you down when they're not in your presence. So you have to be very careful of that kind of a party. Divisiveness and divisive people arise from deceitful, dishonest speech. That's one thing we have to be very, very careful about, because the reason is relationships are built upon trust. Once an individual indicates that he's dishonest, he's difficult to trust. And if we can't trust him, then we can't relate to him. It's very, very important to watch out for people who lie. Now, the Bible does say that every man is a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. But to some degree, that's something that is an issue that plagues everybody. But we're talking about a way of life. Generally, a person should be an honest person. And if he isn't honest about something, he fesses up to it and admits it. Divisiveness and divisive people arise from excessive body language that manipulates others with evil intentions or ends. Right after I had graduated from Dallas Seminary, I got into a discussion with my brother Steve, and we were talking about biblical things, and my brother is involved in a kind of a job where he's responsible to go around and seek to make contracts with other chief executive officers and other big companies. And I happened to mention this particular proverb about watching out for the person who winks with the eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers. In other words, he uses excessive body language. That type of a person tends to be divisive. Well, he was in the process of trying to land a contract with a particular businessman, and right after we had this conversation, he noticed this fellow, he got into this conversation with this businessman, he kept excessively winking with his eye. And based upon the warning that I'd shared with him from Scripture alone, he decided not to go forward with the contract. And he said afterwards, he told me, he said, "Boy, Don, was that a wise move?" He says he turned out to be a real rat. I mean, he was really bad. He would have taken us to the cleaners. So it's important. All of these little details that Scripture talks about are very, very important. Watch out for people who use excessive body language. When a person speaks to you, they should be able to look you square in the eye and just level with the truth. You know, if they have to go around winking the eye or, you know, cocking the head and so forth, that's a problem. Okay, divisiveness and divisive people arise from track records of constant divisiveness. And that seems to be self-explanatory, but it means that there's a lack of self-evaluation, self-correction, and or self-restraint in being habitually divisive. So watch for the track record. Verse 14, who plots evil and deceit with his heart, he always stirs up dissension. That's something to keep in mind. And what's the record? I mean, he may be selling you a good deal at this particular point, but if he's got a record that goes on and on and on of people that he's constantly hurt, or where he's had breakups in relationship, that's something to watch out for. Also, divisive and divisiveness, divisive people arise due to pride, and that comes from not revering God. The first part of verse 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Haughty eyes is a person who's proud. And a person is proud when he doesn't come from revering God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. So watch out for people who are really cocky, really proud, really stuck up. One of the things you learned about people who are really good in life, often very top-notch athletes, they're very, very humble people. And they're very grateful for the fact that they have an opportunity to pray, that they play, that they have the ability that they do. So need to be very, very careful of those people who are proud. They have a tendency to be divisive. Then divisiveness and divisive people arise from a lack of consideration for the value and the concerns of other people. And that makes a person heartlessly cruel and destructive to vulnerable people who are around them. The last part of verse 17, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, obviously in Solomon's day, he was talking about people who actually murder innocent people. But there's a lot of ways that you can do damage to other people without actually killing them. You can be heartlessly cruel emotionally. There can be verbal abuse and so forth. That's something to watch out for. Divisiveness and divisive people arise from a lack of sense of accountability to God and His moral order, leaving one swift to rush recklessly into evil. Verse 18, feet that are quick to rush into evil. That means a person who's rash. That's something I've noticed over the years that is really, you got to watch out for. If a person has a tendency, even in his speech habits or in his actions, to be a little too risky or willing to take too many risks or be rash in how he comes to a conclusion about a situation or a person, that's normally a warning sign. Because people who relate well with others tend to be more on the conservative, more on the cautious side. They want to tread lightly and make sure that they don't burn any bridges. I mean, they're not opposed to taking a stand, but they want to be careful and make sure that they do it in a way that is decent and upright. Okay, divisiveness and divisive people arise from a lack of sense of accountability to God and His moral order, leaving one swift to rush recklessly into evil. I just covered that. Verse 19, divisiveness and divisive people arise from a lack of a sense of morality and conscience, as one pours out lies, even in public hearings, to serve his selfish objectives. Verse 19, a false witness who pours out lies. Watch out for that kind of a person who can lie at the drop of a hat. And divisiveness and divisive people characteristically see disaster overtake them very suddenly, and that without remedy, either due to human revenge or due to divine punishment, since God hates the stirring up of division amongst brothers. Verse 15, therefore disaster will overtake him in an instant. And why? In verse 16, there are six things the Lord hates. In verse 19, a man who stirs up division amongst his brothers. Some of this disaster comes from the Lord, and some of it comes from people who are taking revenge upon an individual. So we have to be very careful. Now, so far, this lesson has just viewed this issue of divisiveness from a negative standpoint. What I thought I'd do is turn this around in a positive way and look at the positive lesson. Observing the opposite of these negative characteristics leads to cooperative behavior that God blesses. First of all, we should use biblically correct and honest speech to build wholesome relationships with other people. Very important to watch that our speech is honest, that it is correct, and that it is decent. We have to watch our vocabulary. Number two, we should avoid using excessive body language, but look directly at others and just speak the truth. Number three, we should assess our thoughts and our acts after a break in a relationship and correct ourselves if needed. If there is a break in a relationship that we have with another individual, could be in the business realm, could be a relative or something, the first thing we need to do is to stop and think, okay, what did I do that I could have improved on, or was I wrong in this or not? Now, you might not be wrong, but it's always good to stop and take stock. It might be the other person who's completely wrong. We don't know. But we should stop. And then if we need to make a correction, we need to adjust and make the correction. I know in life, often, sometimes this has happened in the past, but when you're working with lots of people, I've made decisions that have worked out. There have been breaks in relationships. And afterwards, I found out the decision itself is right, but perhaps I could have been wiser in how I went about it. It's many times how we relate to people is more important than the decision itself. So we need to be very careful about that. Then, we should avoid using excessive body language, but I've already mentioned that, but directly look at others. And then number four, we should revere God and stay humble in relating to others to build good relationships. Boy, have I found that that works out well. I was reading an article in Moody Monthly Magazine many years ago about couples that had stayed together. And one couple had stayed, they'd been married for 50 years. And what's interesting is that the man and woman had completely different personalities. He was shy and retiring and just as soon stay at home and listen to the radio. She wanted to get out and mix with people. She was an extrovert, he was an introvert, Mutt and Jeff type of a relationship. But he testified that from his perspective, if you were right with God, you could get along with practically anybody, if people were right with the Lord, regardless of the differences in personality. And I thought that was quite a testimony for a man who'd been married for 50 years to the same woman. Even though they were so different in personalities, he had learned to look to the Lord. And so if we revere the Lord and we stay humble when we relate to other people, we have a tendency to accept people the way they are, although not necessarily to accept the bad things they do, but nevertheless, we have a tendency to relate to people a lot better. It's when we become proud that we build walls that separate us from others. We should consider the value and the feelings of other people to edify and build good relationships. That sounds like it's self-explanatory. Remember, when you were raised, you probably always heard your mother or your father saying, well, you need to consider your brother's feelings or your sister's feelings. Don't just be so self-centered and so forth. It's a very basic concept, but it's a very true one. And there are people who are adults who don't know how to consider the feelings and the value of other people. We need to do that. And then we should sense our accountability to God and evaluate our path in life to build good relationships. We can go overboard this way. We can become so introspective that we blame all relationship problems on ourselves when that's not the case. But it always helps to evaluate ourselves and say, okay, did I mess up here? Let's evaluate. Where am I? Go over the situation. A lot of times we can always fine-tune what we did. Maybe we weren't really that wrong, but the way we came across was wrong. So we need to evaluate our path in life to build good relationships. And then we should evaluate our morals and follow our conscience to do what is right over our own objectives. I was getting ready this morning in the worship service. I'll be giving an illustration of something that happened 59 years ago in my life. I hadn't spoken about it because it was an event that was a very scary event. It happened when I was 4 years old. But it happens to fit beautifully the illustration pattern for this morning. But I found that I had to come clean in regards to this because I've let my parents think one thing when in reality, the reality was actually something different. My mom's going to read these notes because they're going to be mailed to her. And she's 87 years old, but that's going to be a good thing. And it'll give glory to God. But we need to evaluate ourselves and follow our conscience to do what is right over our own objectives. And then 8, we should evaluate our way of life if we face sudden calamity in order to correct ourselves as needed. If a very serious trial comes up, the first thing a believer should do if he has a trial is to stop and say, okay, whoa, have I done something wrong? Evaluate your life. If you can't think of anything that you've done wrong, the Lord doesn't bring anything to mind, there's nothing that points to the fact that you violated Scripture or anything like that, okay, then we dismiss that and we go on and to see if there's some other way. But that should always be the first thing that we do, is to evaluate, okay, did I do something wrong? Check it out. If we haven't, or if we're cleared, fine, we just go ahead. It's up to the Lord to reveal it to us if we've done wrong unconsciously. But we need to evaluate our way of life if we find that we've faced sudden calamity. Now, as we have to relate cooperatively with others in society for success, and to do so to avoid God's discipline as being an unloving person, aligning to God's fixed moral order requires that we apply Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. So may we apply this section of Scripture to relate well to others in society for God's blessing. A number of years ago, my parents were working in the southwestern part of the United States, and I believe it was in the state of New Mexico. They found in one of the towns that they'd gone to that there was a select group of Christians who they had started in one church, and they'd created real problems, and they'd moved to a church, and this whole group kept moving and moving, and they just kept plaguing every church they went to, and finally they ended up as a little tiny group off all by themselves. And some of the pastors in the area shared with my parents that they felt that the Lord had finally isolated this group off by itself because it was so divisive. They couldn't get along with anybody else. And they kept creating so much heartache in the other churches eventually, God just isolated them away from the other churches so that the other churches could be free of them. Now, that's kind of a tragic situation, and I haven't heard if there's been any resolution to that. But this is a group of people, for some reason, they were very tight-knit, but they made trouble wherever they went. And so the Lord just, okay, put them off by themselves. That's the bad way. We shouldn't be that way. Now, there's a balance. Whenever you have a truth in Scripture, there's always the balance. And the balance side is we do need to be willing to follow the Lord in separating from people who are unholy. We practice first-degree separation from those who deny the deity of Christ, deny the inspiration of Scripture. That's separation from apostates. The Bible also wants us to separate from Christians who are living unholy lives. There are some people who profess to know Christ as their Savior, but they live dreadfully unholy lives and unrighteous lives. They may be extremely abusive with substance abuse. They may be involved in doing other types of things that are vices, hurting people, being verbally abusive excessively, and so forth. Well, obviously, the Lord doesn't want us to relate with that type of a person. So we need to be willing to separate from that. But the separation should be from problem people like that. It shouldn't be the idea that we use it as excuse, well, I'm just trying to be holy, so you separate from everybody. That's not, you know, there are godly people out there. And so God does want us to be cooperative. So this is the balance to the doctrine of separation. God doesn't want us to be divisive. In fact, in Titus, the divisive person we're supposed to separate from after the second and third admonition. So a divisive person himself is wrong. We should not be divisive people. We need to be holy, loving people who know how to be cooperative with others. Okay, we'll open it up to question for question and answers. Could be on a subject that we've covered this morning. Could be something else. And we'll do our best to address them, whatever the issue is.